The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, we've had a beautiful week. It has been absolutely amazing. The farmers have been out and getting that crop out of the fields. I have seen people working that have projects on the outside. There's a lot of construction going on. I imagine in our own city right here in Oskaloosa, all the road work is about to come to completion here, just due to the fact of how the weather is going to make an adverse change as we look into this next week. But it has been one of those beautiful Iowa weeks, and it has been absolutely amazing, and we're just absolutely thankful. Maybe today, as you're traveling, you're enjoying the great weather one last day before it sounds like the weather makes a big change and you're traveling down Highway 163. We want to thank you, or maybe you're in the surrounding area of Iowa and you have pulled us in. We want to thank you for listening today. We've got a great opportunity for some just good lesson, and we just want to thank you for tuning in. Hopefully, you'll stay with us this morning. And also, too, and maybe you're on your way to church. Again, thank you for listening. It's always an honor to be able to be with you as you head to your church service, or maybe simply you're at home, and this has become your church. And we want to thank you for keeping with us week after week and listening to the different subjects that we bring up as we've been in this study with the in the book of 1 and 2 Kings and looking at followership and what it means to follow the Lord and trust Him in the ways that we do life. Also, too, it's just some things that we've got coming up. November 10th is our Vital Gathering. Again, that's November 10th. It's from 5 to 7 o'clock in early evening, and it will be at Debbie's Celebration Barn. We've been doing that here bi-monthly, going every other month, and we're back up again on November 10th. It's going to go from 5 to 7. We're going to have great food at the very beginning. So you're going to want to come hungry and bring the family or friends. This is a men and women and children event. So we're excited about this, about what the Lord is doing and how the Holy Spirit is working. We're going to actually be talking about what it means to have the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to want to miss this great event along with the teaching. And we have our Vital Ministries band worship. It has been just over the top. And I just encourage you, a night of celebration, a night of thanksgiving, a night of discovering the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, that's on November 10th, Debbie's Celebration Barn right here in Oskaloosa. Also, too, we send out devotionals out 6 days a week, both for men and women. You can get on the Vital Ministries webpage. Check that out. There's some good stuff on there. We have 5 writers for the men who write each day, different ways of the rhythm of writing, and just a great time as men to get plugged in, that extra inspiration, that nugget in the day to get you inspired and maybe give you a word of wisdom as you go about your day. Also, too, my wife writes for the women, just some exceptional stuff. She's an incredible writer as well. Just again, for the ladies, just a great day in your day to have some inspiration and just hear with how the Holy Spirit is working as well. So you can get it on the Vital Ministries webpage, vitalministries.org. Also, too, you can have it on demand on a phone app. You can have it just brought to you each and every day. So just encourage you to participate in that as well. And like every ministry, we need help. We financially, you can go to vitalministries.org. And there's a donation page there. Also, too, you'll find our P.O. box here, right here in Oskaloosa. You can send it to us as well. But we desperately need, as any ministry, in order to stay, just to be on the radio. It costs money. And if you this is part of your Sunday and you enjoy it, we would encourage you to help us out with that. Obviously, we want you to tithe to your church first. That's the number one priority and responsibility. But if you have some extra and you would appreciate helping us out, we would greatly appreciate this as we try to do and honor our Lord Jesus Christ. But today we're going to continue our series on followership and looking at the life of Elijah. And we're going to look at what it means to hear the voice of God. I often get told by other men, and sometimes as women as well, but Mike, I've never heard the voice of God. How does He talk to us? Most of the time, I think it's in the pursuit of God and getting rid of all the other voices in our head. I know even this morning as I get ready to teach, there's voices, there's things that want to come out, there's things that want to consume my mind to go in a different direction. And I always ask the Holy Spirit to help me to keep my mind focused as I'm here with you on Sunday morning. And I always chuckle when I see at times a group of women as to men as they go out and have a coffee time or a lunch time, and there are a lot of voices that are being spoken, sharing stories on what's going on in their life. And there's a dramatic difference if you watch the two tables sometimes. And all great things of having community with together. I love it. But usually with women in a group, they will have multiple conversations going on all at the same time. And this is the unique part of that. They're usually more engaging and sometimes even more expressive when they talk. But now, here's what's happening as you look at the conversations and you look what's going on. They're all engaged in the conversation, and they may not be in that actual conversation of the person next to them, but they can pretty well tell you exactly the details of what's going on in the conversation around the table, even though there's multiple people talking. Now, on the flip side of that, men just can't do that. We are geared to hear only one conversation, one voice at a time, and it's a struggle for us to have multiple conversations and to be engaged exactly what's going on and what's being spoken. And we want the conversation as men to be one conversation at a time. And I think Elijah was struggling with the voices in his mind of King Ahab, Jezebel, who had threatened to kill him, and his own voice of self-pity. Remember last week that we talked about the five reasons of why Elijah ran, and self-pity was one of those. It was actually number five. It's a pathetic emotion that will lie and exaggerate every emotion about what is going on in a certain situation. We've all fallen to self-pity one time or another, including myself. Like Elijah, it's usually because of discouragement, despondency, or eventually depression. We've all come to moments like Elijah in 1 Kings 19:4, where he simply says to God, "I've had enough and I can't go any further." And at times, the Lord, he asked, "Please take my life." A desperate place to be in a situation as we see in Elijah's life, but too, at times, we experience those same emotions. See, Elijah was at a desperate place in his life, but I love how God is there for him in his darkest hour. It says in 1 Kings 19:5 that God sent an angel to help Elijah get up and to eat and to drink. God is restoring his people. When he's finally had enough rest and has eaten, God sends him out on a 40-day hike, a 250 miles to the mountain of God. His destination is Mount Sinai. So let's begin this morning to discover how God has spoken to Elijah as we look at 1 Kings. We're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 8 and 9 this morning as we get ready to jump in to our teaching. We got to get a little bit of background. So Elijah, in this portion of the Bible, says, "So he got up and ate and drank, and the food that was given him, the strength for the 40 days and 40 nights to travel to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. But the Lord said to him, 'What are you doing here?'" See, Elijah gets to Mount Sinai and heads for a cave. He spends the night there. In my mind, he's all alone, probably sitting by a fire, getting warm, and eventually he falls asleep. A night on hard ground, on the dirt, as he spends time on the mountain of God. And as men, we do the same thing at times. We're what I call cave dwellers. You've heard about the man cave, a place where men reside. We'll decorate how we want it. It's our domain. And for a lot of men, it's the garage. That's the only place that's left in the domain of where they can have what they want. For me, my man cave is my office where I do a lot of my work. It's decorated my way, and I can hide out there, watch a movie if I want. It's usually doing a bid or writing out bills, but it's my place. It's my cave. It's my area where I can get alone and get away from life and moments itself. I think Elijah thought he was there in for a portion of a stay in of his life, and in his mind, he comes back to thinking, "You know what? I've done my job. I've been running for most of my life and been asked to tell King Ahab that the rain would stop. And because of that, the consequences of having my name being all around the country, a wanted man." And if that isn't enough, his wife Jezebel put a death wish on my life for doing the will of God. See where it got me. Have you ever had that before in your life where you simply thought you were out doing good and it absolutely at times in your mind, it looks like it's backfiring. But Elijah, that is the struggle he has. That's the depth of his depression. That is where he is in life. But see, God doesn't want Elijah to get comfortable. No, he wants Elijah. He's got more for Elijah. And he asked him this question, what are you doing here? In my mind, I would be thinking, Lord, you told me to be here. God doesn't tell him how he isn't doing enough. I love that part. He isn't reprimanding him. He isn't giving him a sermon. No, he gives him a place of rest, a place to go into a cave, but he still asks the question, Elijah, what are you doing here? But let's look what goes on here as Elijah gives the Lord a response in verse 10, and he says this, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I'm the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me as well. You know, you can just hear the desperation in those words. But see, Elijah tells God of what's wrong with his people. He reveals to God his pride, his self-pity, and that all have fallen. They've broken covenant with you. The altars are all gone. There's none left in the land of Israel. No more sacrifice. They've killed all the prophets. And matter of fact, Lord, I'm the only one that's left, and they're trying to kill me as well. You can see the desperation, and also, too, at the same time, look at the self-pity that is going on in Elijah. Sounds like a boo-hoo time with the Lord. Life of time will wear you out, doesn't it, folks? This past week has been one of those weeks for me as well. We are overwhelmed with work. We have people who work for us helping family in the fields who simply has to ask to go out and help. Totally understand that. But asking someone to work on Saturday is a big no. And on top of it, the weather is about to change, and we have a lot of concrete work to get in before the snow flies. Hear the self-pity in the very words that I'm sharing with you this morning. The things that are on my mind, the voices that even as I'm speaking to you this morning are still consuming at times and want to take over my mindset as opposed to doing what God has called me to do. We all struggle and get asked, what are you doing here, aren't we, at times? And like Elijah, we just want to hear from the Lord, his still small voice. And that's exactly what God does. So let's look at verses 11 through 13 of what it says in chapter 19 of God's response to the prophet Elijah. And God says this, go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord says. And as Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was with such terrible blast, the rocks were literally torn loose. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, there was a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak, went out, and stood at the entrance of the cave. Now, I find this interesting as we look at this portion of Scripture, seeing exactly of what's going on in Elijah's life as he stands on the mountain. And what we see here, folks, is God, as he goes out, he calls out Elijah. And Elijah's on the inside of the cave and even fearing as he hears God speak to him. And God goes and he speaks to him through the earthquake. He causes this windstorm to come, and I can only imagine being inside the caves that it could have actually shaken some of those rocks loose at the time. But it still doesn't budge him. And it would have been, in my mind, a horrific thing that would have happened in the force of nature itself. But there, besides the earthquake, the Lord does some incredible things again. He passes through with a windstorm. And after the windstorm, the earthquake. And again, after the earthquake, he sends fire. All those things. And as I look at that, folks, what is God really trying to say as he says, go out? In my mind, I think he's wanting Elijah to simply, I want you to man up. I want you to stand before me. I want you to show you who I am. That I control the wind. I control the earth. And I can control the fire. I can control nature itself, and I'm also in control of the very situation, Elijah, that you're in. But God does some incredible things here as he goes and he looks to hear the voice of God. See, God controls nature, and they are obedient to him. And we know that for a fact because we can read that in Psalm 148. See, God lacks no tools of variety to get his work accomplished. And God can and will provide someone else if Elijah does not step into what God has called him to do, to take the place and be the person that God wants. But see, God speaks to Elijah in a gentle whisper. He draws him out of the cave. He draws him away from his self-pity, his discouragement, and especially his depression. And once he's out, I love this part where God speaks to him again. And it comes in a gentle whisper. And so often we hear God speaking to us in multiple different ways, especially through as we read our Bibles, as we hear the Holy Spirit speak to us, or we can hear it in nature, we can hear it by someone else, God giving them a word to speak to us. But we all eager for moments to where we can really truly hear the voice of God. See, Elijah was in a desperate situation in his life. He didn't know which direction to go. For all he thought of at this time in his life, he says, I fulfilled all that God has asked me to do, and I'm ready for you to take me. And there's sometimes moments we have that, don't we, folks, where we're discouraged. And we talked about that last week, and in our discouragement, we go and we yearn, and we want to hear the voice of God himself. And God does this special moment as he listens to the whisper. And I'm sure that's maybe somebody even out there listening this morning saying, Mike, I wish I could hear the voice of God. I want to hear the whisper. I want to hear God speak to me. And I'm going to encourage you. Sometimes, folks, the reason why we can't hear the voice of God, like Elijah, we have all these voices that consume us in our life. Things that, you know, as I shared earlier, as Elijah was struggling and the voices, he was hearing King Ahab constantly challenging him, constantly trying to tell him he was not a good man and that he was a liar and he was not truly speaking for God. That was coming at him. And again, with Jezebel wanting to kill him. You know, folks, there's a lot of times when we have voices that speak, and there's always voices when I speak. A lot of times the enemy will remind me about not who I am, but what I am from my past. He'll remind me that I was held back in a grade school, that I was not had enough knowledge. I was not smart enough. He'll always remind me of that. And then as it goes on further, as when I speak and sometimes when I get excited and sometimes my words will come together and it's not clarity in my words, he will tell me that I've not spoken clearly and that I'm not a good enough speaker. And he'll even remind me sometimes of my darkest hour of my whole life. It was when I went through my divorce, and that was a dark hour of struggle in my life. And I'll never forget that. But my darkest hour, like Elijah, God came to me. He restored me. He helped me to get back up. And I've been with different men and multiple times in the same situations in the desperation of what's going on in their life as well. And it's in those moments that God shows up and does an incredible thing. This past week, I had an opportunity with a man who had some situation uptown, and there's a store, and there's men that are sleeping in the streets, believe it or not, right here in Oskaloosa. And he was the one of these men were sleeping in the entrance of one of the stores in the back in the alleyway, just simply trying to stay warm. And he was called up. He was one of the gals went in to open up her place of work, and she was frightened. And he had to go up and he tell the man that you can't sleep here anymore. This is frightening. You're scaring the lady. So he's gone for a week, and he comes back and he does the same thing. And again, he reminds the man that you cannot sleep here. So then he goes, and a friend of mine, he goes and does some investigation, trying to find out the story of the man. And we find out the reason why the man is struggling, because he's just down. He's down on his luck. He's discouraged. He's fallen into an addiction. And my friend goes and he tells me this. He says, the spirit, the still small voice was talking to me, Mike, and wanting me to help this man. So he steps into the moment. And he just, when he was telling me about the gentle voice, the whisper that was speaking for him to encourage this man in his life, and he goes and does some things and helps him to get on his feet and buys him some clothes and helps him to get a job. And he was sharing the story, and he was lit up like a Christmas tree as he was sharing the story. And he said, Mike, I just so want to hear the voice of God and how God can use me. And that was such an encouragement even to my own life. And I hope that encouraged you this morning as the Lord continue to use us in the moments as we look out in desperation of wanting to hear the voice of God. I just encourage you in that today. As he came to Elijah, and I love the part when Elijah, he says this, when he heard God's voice, he wraps his face and he comes out of the cave. And no longer does he stay hidden. He comes out and faces God. And God calls him out. But let's keep going this morning. Is that God shows Elijah that he still has a job to do. And let's continue reading in verses 14 through 18. And let's listen to what God says to Elijah. God says this, as he speaks to him, what are you doing here? But then I find it interesting in verse 14. Elijah responds this way. He says, I've zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you and torn down the altars and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. It's almost identical response as we look at verse 10. He repeats himself. Elijah repeats what he's saying. But this was what God says. Then the Lord said to him, go back the same way you came and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael, the king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel, and to anoint Elijah, son of Japhet, from the town of Abel, to replace you, my prophet. Anyone who comes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escape Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed to Baal or kissed him. See, God is telling Elijah he still has work to do, and he gives him instructions. He gives him exact detail of what he's to do. There's three things of instructions as we look at these verses today that I think will help us to get some clarity of the direction, of the trajectory of Elijah, but also too, as we see that God does the same thing for us. The first instruction he does is he tells Elijah, I want you to anoint Hazael, the king of Aram. Why? Because God was going to use Hazael, the king of Aram, to deliver his wrath on the people of Israel. He was going to complete the prophetic word of the destruction of the nation of Israel itself. So he needed a man. So he rises up this king. I find it interesting, don't you folks, how Elijah, the prophet, one of the Jewish prophets of Israel, goes and anoints a Gentile king to take on and to displace what God had called out against Israel because they're unwilling to come and stay in covenant with God, stay in obedience, stay into what God wants him to do. And folks, don't you see sometimes in our own lives that sometimes God will do the same thing? He will raise up different people to come in and make life uncomfortable for us in order for us to woo us back to him. I find that so interesting how that happens, and I love how God works. And I find it just the other night, as our daughter called, and she's up in Mercy, and she's studying to go in kinesiology and go into a deeper level. I find it, you know, as you get into the universities, and so much the universities will push back on what it means to who God is, but you're our own God. You are your own truth. And actually, at times in my mind, actually distorts the truth for a lie, and that's exactly what's going on. But my daughter has to write this paper about, as she's up at Mercy, about what it means to serve. And in order, here's the guidelines. I love this. In order to find out how to serve, they have to study how Jesus served. And so she's been calling my wife and asking her questions. And I love it how, because of this paper, the Lord is wooing her back. And I was listening to as the conversation that was going on. And sometimes as we go back and the things we push back, God uses a way to bring us back home. And that's exactly why he did what he did with Hazael, the king of Aram, because he was going to bring out destruction in order to woo Israel back. The second thing he does is he anoints Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, to be the king of Israel. Why? Jehu was a reformer. He destroyed the dynasty of King Ahab, and he kills Jezebel. He's not afraid to go out and deliver because God is going to use Jehu and his boldness because he's a reformer, and he will be obedient to do what God does. And in that moment, Jehu does exactly that. And the prophecy that God delivered over King Ahab and his wickedness, God says enough and uses Jehu to fulfill the prophecy, the prophetic word that Elijah spoke over him. The next thing he does is he anoints Elisha to be his replacement. The next, and we're going to read some incredible things, but this is what I like most of all about Elisha as he's with Elijah. And the reason why God set him up this way is Elisha would become a personal friend to Elijah, someone who loved the old prophet and would simply understand why he's called to do what he's done. And I love when God brings people into our lives who love us and care for us and will listen to us and as if God himself has brought back into our lives. So, folks, this is something that's really, really interesting about today as we look at the life of Elijah as he's on the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. See, God never designed men and women to live as hermits, as cave dwellers. No, he's called us to be out in fellowship and community with other people. My question to you this morning is how are you in fellowship with other men and women? Do you have that friend? See, Elijah reminds us in this portion of the Bible to look up, that the Father is always looking down, wanting a relationship with us, want us to simply say, thank you. To say, Father, I love you. Thanks for sending your Son to our world, and thank you for sending the Holy Spirit, which we can hear your voice, the whisper of God. See, folks, in order to hear the voice of God, it will take you obedience. It will take you get a place in your life where you get away from the distractions, you get away from the other voices in order to hear God speaks to you. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day, the opportunity to come and be a part of these folks that are listening today. I pray, Holy Spirit, that maybe there's somebody out there this morning that is wanting to hear your voice. Maybe they're traveling down the highway. Maybe they're on their way to church. Maybe they're simply sitting at home. It's desperate. It's lonely. They're in a despondent situation. It seems like there is no hope, no light at the end of the tunnel. Lord, I pray you'll send the Holy Spirit. You'll send them in their darkest hour of moment and to remind them that you're still there, that Jesus Christ sits right next to the Father himself. And he's our advocate, he's the lover of our souls, and that you sent the Comforter, Lord. You sent the Holy Spirit in order for us to have communion with you. So not just one person can speak to God, but we all can, and we can all live in the presence of you every day of our lives. We thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for listening, for being part of Vital Ministries this morning, and also, too, as we continue our series on followership. You're not going to miss next week as we continue, as we look at how God speaks to Elijah and does some amazing things as Elijah and King Ahab have this moment at the vineyard. You won't want to miss out how God uses Elijah again. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.